listening to Strange Label.
Hello, this is the Chris Break Show. I'm Chris Break, and I will be joined by John Rapp in 2 seconds. We did an interview with Emil and Daryl that we are about to play. And then we are going to, after that, we're going to speak to Kenny White, who is also live on StrangeLabel.com with us. Although we are on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. He is on Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And we'll be speaking with him after we speak to Emil and Daryl. Let me do this real quick. Get that out of the way. Okay, in case you don't remember, Emil and Daryl, they are the two cellists, the two brothers. They were cellists. They were on season 9 of what's that show, America's Got Talent. They were the crazy, like, kind of rock, you know, cellist guys. So we'll be speaking with them about what it was like being on America's Got Talent, what it was like getting kicked off of America's Got Talent, and what their life is like now. So we will be speaking with them now, but I'm going to play a little bit of one of their songs just to remind you who they are, or, you know, if you don't know who they are, this is what they sound like. And they're pretty young. I think they were like 15 and 17 or 14 and 17 when they were on the show. I'm sure I got those numbers wrong, but they will, I believe their ages are stated somewhere in this interview. I really like talking to those guys. They're really cool. Here we go. Congratulations on your new album.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think I like the fact that you guys did it through, what is it, pledgemusic.com?
Correct, yes.
That's like a GoFundMe or a Kickstarter.
Right, right. It's similar to that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I liked your, what are they called, rewards?
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty good. One that you have on there, because you guys mainly do like these hard rock and cover songs on the cellos. Like kind of. What's up?
Are you referring to the stuff that we did on Pledge Music for, like, where the people can pledge for it and get the stuff afterwards?
Yeah, yeah. Have you guys had to fulfill any of those commitments yet?
Yeah, yeah. We already fulfilled all of them. We shipped out all the CDs, and there's a few signed bows and a few lessons, cello lessons, and, yeah, we already took care of all that.
It's funny how fast all that stuff actually went out there. We weren't expecting it, but people really wanted to get their hands on our stuff, and it was really exciting for us.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So, yeah, it was one of them was for $150. You'll teach somebody cello over Skype.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a few of those, yeah.
How'd those go?
Oh, very well, very well. There were fans that knew about us, and it was just a lot of fun for us because we got to spend some time with our fans and just do what we do.
Get to interact with them a bit because we really... When we're traveling a lot and performing, we really don't get much chance to interact with them like that, just like person to person, kind of. It's just over social media, so it was really nice to kind of get to talk to them like that.
Did you guys do any touring? Did you guys do any touring before you were on America's Got Talent, or was, I mean, would you say that was your big break?
Oh no, that definitely was our big break. Yeah, we were just making like YouTube videos before that. That was it.
What type of places do you play now when you go on tour?
Oh, well, actually, we do a lot of corporate shows where we play huge venues in Las Vegas and New York and pretty much everywhere. We've been touring. Yeah, exactly. We've been touring a lot for corporate shows, and it's so much fun and playing these huge places. It's really crazy.
Yeah, I haven't been following, because you guys made it to the top 12 of America's Got Talent. I haven't really been following the careers of the other people that were involved in the top 12. Like, do you think that you're... You know, you guys are kind of doing better off than, like, say, Miguel Dakota?
Well, we'd hope so. I mean, we don't really know that much about other people's personal lives, but we'd hope so. I mean, we try our best.
It's kind of like there's a long road to try to become successful, but we're really trying everything we can. And obviously, AGT was a huge push and definitely such a monumental part of what we're doing. And it really helped us a lot in pushing us out to be out there and for people to know us and help us become successful, kind of stuff.
I'll be honest with you. When Miguel Dakota beat you guys by that audience award, I was pretty pissed off. I was pretty invested in that show. And then when you guys got knocked off and Miguel Dakota stayed, I found that very irritating because I just don't like that guy's face.
Well, yeah, he's a nice guy. I mean, it's just it's politics, I guess. That's the way things work. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think
we do our best.
Yeah, well, there you guys. I mean, you guys got a real talent. And I'm not saying that singing isn't a talent, but, you know, this guy was kind of a pretty face and, you know, getting the teeny bopper vote. And here you guys are up there actually fucking rocking out. And this guy's basically doing karaoke, you know?
Well, thank you very much. We're honored that you appreciate what we do.
did you guys get along with the other contestants? Like, do they put you in a hotel room, like, where you all hang out? I mean, not a hotel room, but, you know, all, like, in the same area?
We actually lived next to Radio City for almost 2 months during the entire AGT thing. And they put us in a hotel like 2 blocks from Radio City, and yeah, all the other contestants were there as well, and we hung out a lot, and especially we became really close friends with a lot of people in the Las Vegas show. We were the only act that weren't in the top six that were invited back to do the Vegas show. And it was like 1 week where we got to spend with all of the top six from AGT, and that was a lot of fun. That was a blast, and yeah, we're very good friends with a lot of people from AGT.
Wow, that's impressive, guys. So I didn't realize that. You actually, because obviously you didn't make it top six, so you didn't get to go to the Vegas show, but they invited you to go anyway just because...
We were surprised ourselves because by all definitions, we weren't supposed to be there, but they just invited us back.
They said the show wouldn't be the same without us. That made us really happy. We were the only the act that weren't in the top six that they called back, so that was really special.
Wow. Did you guys... Did you guys hang out with Juan Carlos? Because I'm real fascinated by that guy.
I think we met him once. We just took a photo with him, and that was the as far as our association with him goes.
Not him particularly.
Yeah, not in particular.
Now, did you try and stay away from him, or was he just doing his own thing?
No. Actually, he was, for the most part, just skating away from everyone.
He was in a different week from us because the way that AGT works, they fly you in exactly 10 days before your performance. And for there's like 4 weeks of live shows in the beginning. So some of the people from like the first live shows, we never even came in contact with them. We don't even know them because we just flew in 3 weeks later. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it's not as simple as people think it is watching from TV. It's more organized.
Yeah, and it's another thing is that if everything there happens so fast, you don't even have a chance to think about it. Like, they call you, you play, that's it. You're in front of 15 million people live, and you don't even realize it. What a big audience you're playing in front of, because you're sitting in Radio City, which is a huge venue, but at the same time, you know, we're used to playing in front of very big audiences, and it's really not that big. But after that, when you step outside the next morning of Radio City Music Hall, everyone notices you because 15 million people around the country were watching you, and like half the people that walk by on the street, people are screaming your names from the distance, and it's really cool because you get this kind of recognition that you never had before. It's really amazing.
Yeah, you're instantly a rock star.
Yeah, exactly what it is, yeah.
Did you guys get in any trouble in New York?
No, not in particular. I think we got food poisoned once, but that's about it. That's about it.
Oh, man, yeah. What would you do if you had food poisoning, you had diarrhea, and then you had to go and perform on stage?
I don't know. It's a tough question, man. I don't know.
I think I'd probably go with the diaper method. That seems like...
Yeah. Yeah. Always reliable.
Diaper and cologne. Okay, now another one of your, you know, the goals on Pledge Music that people could get was for $250, you would record a cover song of their choice.
Yes.
That seems like the most awesome one. Did you get a lot of those?
Actually, actually, that was the one that was most requested. We did quite a few of those, and it was actually, it got at a point that it became really hard. We had to just sit, like, take a few, like, weeks just to record all that stuff, because
you have to really, when we do a cover of a song, we don't want to just listen to it, okay, let's just play it, whatever, they like it, don't care. We really wanted to make the people happy, and if we cover a song, we really want to make it our own, really want
to put our spin on it.
Yeah, we really want to make it good so people can say, wow, I know the song, but I never heard it played like that. So we really want to put all our efforts into making a song sound good. So yeah. That took some effort.
How many did you do?
Oh, there was
quite a few. I don't remember.
There was a while bunch. Ago.
But I just remember that we have a lot of sessions on our computer opened up for all those kinds of things.
There was too many.
What was like and I imagine they were like mainly songs you guys didn't know, right?
A few of them we knew, a few of them, like one of them was like an Elton John song and like a few others, just popular songs, but we just, obviously not, we couldn't do all of the songs that were requested, so we had to negotiate some of the songs, but most of them were just like really good old-fashioned rock songs, and
they're all fun to learn, and they're all great songs. We really enjoyed getting to know that music, like, just, it's always fun to learn something new, so that was a lot of fun.
Sorry, guys. We got our phones ringing over here.
No problem.
Yeah, there's a lot of beep, 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 beep. All right, the next... what was, like, the craziest song that someone requested? Because I imagine if I paid this, I would probably request that you cover a song that I wrote. Did you get anything like that?
Actually, there was somebody that requested for us to do a cover of the song that they wrote. So you're
an original.
Yeah, it was an original.
There was a guy
song.
That wrote a song and asked us to play that.
And yeah, it was kind of a challenge for us because we had to memorize something completely new, because this is something that somebody just recorded, right? Like with a modern song, you can kind of like, it has like, how do I put this? You can watch other videos. You can. It's easier to learn it when there's many different forms of watching that video. You can watch, you know, so one person play it, another person play it live, studio. It's kind of easier to get a hang of a song, but as opposed to an original, because someone else wrote it, it's hard to understand them.
Right. But and it was an instrumental song.
It was completely instrumental.
Yeah. There's no lyrics, no singing. It's just just a guitar song. And we also wanted to not disappoint the guy. I really wanted to put our own spin on it and make it good, make him happy. Because he did pay for that thing, so we really put in a lot of time and effort into that.
Did you guys get any like profane songs, like Insane Clown Posse or anything like that?
Oh, no. None of that. No.
Because I noticed, because a lot of these, you know, when someone, you know, you say cover song of your choice, a lot of them will say, you know, within reason or up to to discretion of the performer. Yours doesn't say that. You know,
I think that was part of the contract. That's one of like the small text. It might not say it up front, but when you actually pay for it, I believe it's because like if somebody just asks us to do like, I don't know, something like death black metal or whatever, and it's like the growling vocals, you can't really do that. I mean, to a degree, it's just going to be bad.
we could just start it from the bottom. Now we're here.
You could do that. You could. Do you guys sing on these tracks, or is it just a cello? Right? Yeah. So I mean, you could you could do the Insane Clown Posse, but cello version. You know, without it being vulgar. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Well, on their new album, though, they do We Built This City, and Jefferson Starship Mickey Thomas does the vocals on that.
Nice.
Yeah, Rick Derringer.
Yeah, Rick Derringer actually came into our studio and recorded that song with us, and that was really a very interesting experience because it's quite an honor to be working with such a legend in the music world. And he was a lot of fun, very nice and down-to-earth guy and very talented singer. It's amazing how well he sings.
Well, another cool thing is that all the songs that we did with the vocalists of these, which are mega hits, all these the vocal tracks where we collaborated with different vocalists, they're all with the original vocalists. So all of the collaborations were the singers were the original vocalists that wrote the song and that originally performed the songs. So that was a lot of fun and very interesting experience.
Now who is Mark Wood? I should know that.
He's actually an amazing violinist. He was one of the original founding members of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh.
And it's an interesting way how we met. His son, Elijah Wood, was our drummer for America's Got Talent. And so we became extremely great friends. He's been playing with us a lot. And Mark Wood met us on AGT. And we just started, you know, we became very great friends, and we looked into who he was. We've heard of him before, but we didn't really understand who he was until we actually met him in person.
We're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
That makes sense. And then he offered to be a guest artist on our album.
What, does he look just like Elijah?
I don't know. I mean, a little bit face-wise.
Well, but, wait, we're not talking like Elijah, like not Elijah Wood, the actor, right?
No. Same name. Yeah, it's the same name. His son's name is Elijah. And ever since then, ever since then, he has a violin company. He builds incredible instruments, and he offered us a full endorsement. So now we're playing on his instruments, which are incredible, which we custom designed with him. And we're posting photos of them on our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. So people want, they can check them out. But they're really cool cellos that he built for us, and we're really excited to be endorsing his company, which is absolutely incredible.
We're actually going to be doing a few YouTube videos in these next few weeks with some very big YouTube stars, some of the best musicians on YouTube, and those cellos will be in those videos, so stay tuned.
Oh, nice. Yeah, are you guys collaborating with the two cellos guys? Because I remember, like, didn't they help you out a lot just by sharing your stuff when no one knew who you were?
Yeah, originally, yeah, we were huge fans of them, and we still are. We still are great friends, but we're
doing our own thing now.
Yeah.
But right now we're collaborating with a few other YouTube artists, and we're hoping that it goes really well.
Another question here is, for $100, people could get their name in the liner notes. Did you have anybody who had, like, an extremely long name? You know, like, because I think that'd be hilarious. Like, change your name to basically a commercial.
I actually don't know if we had it, because those kinds of things in pledge music would go with our label, because we're not exactly in charge of doing all that kind of stuff as far as album is concerned. But I'm not sure. That might be in our album, and I probably just didn't see it, but I don't think so. I really don't think so.
Wait, so did you get your fans' names in there? You didn't look at them?
What was that?
Come on, guys.
I don't think anybody did requested that. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think for $100, a better value would be like a bow, a signed bow, or like five CDs. I don't think anybody wanted to spend money on that.
Did you guys have any interactions with the judges outside of, you know, being on stage?
That's actually an interesting story. What most people don't know is that the acts don't get any interaction with the judges whatsoever, with the exception of a few times just like accidentally running into them. We only ran into Mel B once during our entire stay in AGT.
He actually came backstage and was talking to all the acts, and it was
just at one time, and then we ran into Howie once, just like randomly. And yeah, but other than that, it's just like literally a professional judging only thing.
It's actually a funny story with Howie. While we were doing an interview, he ran up behind us and scared us.
Yeah, he yelled, "Good luck," and just like, surprised us.
Yeah, he likes to do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably against the law. You know, there's all sorts of rules with the Gaming Commission, you know, to where I imagine they wouldn't be allowed to actually talk to you.
Exactly. Yeah, that's probably why.
So Heidi wasn't hitting on you guys or anything?
No. Fortunately not.
I think we're too old.
How'd those private Skype concerts work out? There was another one there. That sounds pretty awesome. Five songs, and you... Were they happy with the sound over Skype?
Well, actually, we just used the mixer. We connected it.
We have a mixer at home, and we route it, so it actually sounds like a live YouTube video. You know how there's videos of bands playing live, so it kind of sounded like that. They're hearing us live, and we tried to make it as high quality as we possibly could.
Yeah, it's just, you know, hope for the best and deal with whatever you get.
Now, did you have video? Did you get to see them as well over Skype?
Of course, it's a Skype. It's a two-way kind of thing.
So we were just watching them headbang.
Yeah, we were a little bit preoccupied with our own playing, but occasionally we would look.
Yeah, you guys have a new video out now, the Live and Let Die. That was pretty awesome.
Correct. Right?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's a promo for our upcoming album, and the single is also available, Live and Let Die. And that song in particular is very special to us because it was the performance from America's Got Talent that we dedicated to our grandfather. And it's really cool.
It's actually also really special that song, actually, it's funny. A lot of times on AGT, they don't even, they have to get request approval from the artist to approve the song you play, and it just so happened that that's one of our favorite songs, and Paul McCartney and his team approved for us to perform his song, so that was really huge.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So because there's a lot of songs we wanted to play that they were not approved for some reason.
For copyright.
Because copyright and stuff, their label doesn't allow, blah, blah, blah. But it was really special that this one got approved, and it's one of our favorite songs of all time.
Yeah, that's an awesome song. What songs were not approved?
Actually, we actually wanted to play Enter Sandman, Metallica. We love Metallica, huge fans, and we really wanted to play their stuff, but they said it was this copyright issues.
Are
they weren't allowed.
Are you serious? Come on,
yeah.
Guys.
So now it's the second track on our album. Yeah. We have to put it in there up front.
Well, now that they can make money off it, I guess, off the album, but not on the AGT.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like they're just these rules, TV rules. Something doesn't work out. Copyright this.
Yeah, there's a lot of regulations and stuff involved.
Yeah, but of Metallica though, they're infamous for that.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah.
I saw you guys doing Enter Sandman live anyway on YouTube. It's all good.
Yeah. Actually, there's a video of us playing it in Las Vegas. I believe that's the one you're referring to.
Yeah.
The Nation. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. That show was a lot of fun. That was one of our
huge corporate shows.
Yeah, huge show.
Now, what are these like? I mean, what were you talking like? Lilly or like who are the companies? You know, just big. I mean, you probably can't say, but
that company in particular was actually IHG. It's a huge like corporation convention that they host in Las Vegas, and every year they have many of these. And we actually get invited for a lot of these kinds of corporations. There's like EMC World, IHG,
and there's a lot of pharmaceutical companies and also insurances.
Yeah, all sorts of corporations invite us, and we just play there. And there are a lot of like huge corporate shows because they invite a lot of people from all over the country to go there and watch the show, and we get to play for them. So,
what do you get paid? What do you get paid for something like that?
Well, we're not in charge of the finances, but they do pay pretty good money.
I bet your grandpa likes that.
Yeah, he counts. He's the banking accountant. He takes care of all the finances.
you guys are both under 18, right? Or are you now? Is one of you?
Yeah,
18?
Oh yeah, correct. Well under. Yeah, I'm 17, and Daryl is 15.
Okay, so yeah, do you guys hook up with anybody during the AGT, like in the hotel? Because I mean,
we didn't have time. We were busy with our cellos. You know, they take up so much time,
and they probably wouldn't like it too much.
Yeah, we're very loyal to our cellos.
It's funny because between the weeks, because you perform every week, and between your performances, from what people see, they think, oh, okay, you perform on Tuesday this week, and you're going to perform on Tuesday next week. There is. So it's the schedule there is absolutely crazy because you perform on Tuesday, you get your result on Wednesday, whether you make it through or not. So right after that, you start looking for songs. What am I going to play next week? And then the producers give you the song you're going to play, blah, blah, blah.
And you have to take care of filming. They take you out for literally 12-hour days just to film.
Like a whole day or two can go away on just interviews and just, you know, the story they make and all that. So then you have... So at the end of the day, we're left extremely tired, barely with any energy, and we're just sitting in our hotel rooms practicing the song just because you're going to be sitting in like 3 days in front of 15 million people. You want to make sure you play well,
yeah.
But there's like, oh.
That's so, kind of important.
Yeah, it's so hard. There's really no time. It's crazy.
Now, 13-hour days.
Like, crazy.
I mean,
yeah,
that's
ridiculous.
Insane. Now, are you guys, like, I know they're giving you room and board and probably, I mean, they're...
It's like
they're
actor
probably,
status.
They're probably feeding you too, right?
Just an
oh,
actor.
Yeah, it was... Transportation was covered, food was covered, hotel was covered, everything was covered. And, you know, it's in our best interest, obviously, to, you know, stick
look
around
good.
With them. Yeah, look good. So because a lot of this footage that they filmed for the 90-second, they have these, like, previews before you go on.
Yeah, the package.
It can literally take... Yeah, the packages. It takes so much time to film it.
It's to edit it. 3 days to just go out and film all that, and then it's 90 seconds.
Right, because it's not only about the filming. It's setting up the location, arriving there like an hour in advance, setting up the sound, setting up the video, making sure the lighting is good, making sure you have like the proper like clothes and stuff. It's by the time you're done with it, you
no
just,
logos.
Yeah, no logos. Then you take a lunch break, and all this takes time. And by the time you're done, you just wasted a whole day just on filming.
Man, so in those 13 hours, do you have your own team, your own crew, your film crew that's dedicated just to you, or are there other contestants with you?
Actually, for those specific days, it was people that were dedicated solely to us. Occasionally, they would pair us up with another act and they'd film us both. But most of the time, we would ride in a like a black van, and they would just take us with a few camera guys, a few sound van. Guys. Yeah, it's like
we've been kidnapped.
Yeah.
the more you progress into the competition, the more they kind of care about each act. They really put all their energy into make each act look good. The ones they want to look good at least.
Yeah.
did you ever get frustrated during that? Because I can imagine 13-hour days. You know, plus you're not really getting paid for it, or are you?
Yeah. Well, occasionally you just get tired.
It's a lot of work because you the schedules there are really rigorous. You wake up at 6 and then you go to bed at like 12. It's really hard. There's a lot of There's not much rest. Like during the day, it's all work, camera blocking, filming, and you got to make sure you always look good, which is very hard for us.
Yeah.
But you know, like you always. Like you see these videos like Christian Bale freaking out or Lily Tomlin, you know, and those guys are professional actors who have been through it and they know, you know, they know what to do and how to handle themselves. And then you take some kids who aren't trained in that. And then, you know, it's like, okay, now you're doing 13-hour days like an actor, like move left, move right, angle here, walk like this. They get to doing the same thing over and over again. I could see myself losing my shit.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what we were doing. I mean, you just get tired from it, but at the same time, you're thinking, wow, like, what am I getting in return? Because I'm going to be in front of, like, millions of people on TV tomorrow. So you kind of play along with it.
There's a really, really big prize just you keep in your mind that you're performing. This is, like, this is an opportunity like nothing else. This TV show gives you something that you can't get anywhere else because 15 million people watch you every week, and then the social media fan base increases by scary amounts every time, and it's great.
Yeah, did you guys have to turn off Twitter notifications?
Oh yeah, especially the first day we were our premiere. It was like the fifth episode when we were the very first time shown on TV. Yeah, our phone started malfunctioning the first time.
Yeah, like our phone literally we had to restart it a few times that day because there was 100 notifications per second. It's
crazy. Yeah, it was just ridiculously crazy. So then we had to turn it off and then we
were actually trending in the U.S. When they just aired our audition.
#Cellos.Rock
#Cellos.Rock. We were trending top in the U.S.
On Hulu, we were everywhere.
Yeah, we're also trending number one in Hulu. So it was like kind of like a big wow moment because we've never been that big on social media, and then ever since then it's been huge.
That's impressive, man. Yeah, you guys, do you get frustrated? Because I mean, before then, I mean, were you guys really known? Like, had you been signed to any record label?
No, nothing.
No.
We were just two guys with cellos, and that's about it.
It's pretty much just us with a hobby, and we were sitting at home making YouTube videos, and that's all. And ever since then, AGT, everything changed completely, and now everyone knows us on the streets, and it's awesome.
But then when they got you in that competition, they put you up against somebody like Emily West, you know, who's already kind of had a music career, you know?
Right.
Like,
right,
I could see that being kind of frustrating. But then again, you guys carried your weight, you know? You made it all the way up to 12.
Right. We weren't really concerned that much with the competition. Our job was to do what we do and just do it as well as we can and see where we get.
I think every one of the acts has their own special thing that they offer to the show, and everyone has their own fan base that people like, and I think that people liked us for what we do, how we rock out on the cello, because it's not a typical thing that you see every day. So I think it's very interesting to see these different acts and kind of get compared to them. And it's a lot of fun.
While it is a competition, it's almost like it's not a competition because all the acts are so different.
Yeah, it's kind of, you can't compare them, but at the same time, you compare who can put on the best show.
Yeah, that's a very weird competition because you got comedians up against singers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It almost doesn't make any sense.
It almost seems like kind of too, like how, you know, kind of who has the best gimmick. You know, like,
right, exactly. Well, what it's really about is just getting the vote of the judges and of the population. It's just like, who do you like better? One of those things. Because you can't really compare talent in that respective way. You can't compare a comedian, I don't know, how funny he is versus how good a singer is. It just, you can't compare that.
Yeah, like Metallica or Louis C.K., who are you going to go?
Right, a different show. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah. One is good for comedy, the other is a musician. It's just like completely different.
Who is your favorite judge?
Howard Stern, by far.
Yeah, that's pretty sure.
Easy. Yeah.
Why him?
I think that he really liked us more than any judge. Although all the reactions from the judges were great throughout the competition, I feel like he really connected to us because he's a really metal kind of a person, and we're really into metal, like thrash metal kind of stuff. And I feel like he kind of connected to us the most, and he really liked us. So, yeah.
And I also have to say that he's very knowledgeable in music. I'd say that, his opinion is worth, you know, something. And we're really huge fans of him, in other words.
Yeah, and right before we got eliminated, he blew a kiss to us, so that was special.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was pissed off when you guys got voted off.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, did you guys have any sort of plan on what you were going to do with the $1 million if you won?
Well, we weren't really focused on the money. We were just doing it because that's what we love to do. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with $1 million. It's just we weren't really, like, calculating it in that perspective.
We really just wanted to live in the moment and make sure each performance was as perfect as we could possibly make it. Because at the end, even if you win the million, after a few years, you're not even going to know that you won it. So the most important thing is looking back at your recordings and knowing that you gave it your all and you couldn't have done it any better.
Yeah, you guys did. I still show those videos to people. Those are pretty good.
Thank you very much.
We tried.
Plus that $1 million, it's, you know, when you read up on it, it's technically not even $1 million. Like, it's broken down weird.
It's like $25,000 for 40 years, or it's $200,000 up front plus taxes. So at the end,
minus taxes.
Yeah. So at the end, it's really not about the money. It's more about just, you know, the name and stuff. And but for us, we didn't really care about that. We just wanted to show everyone our music. That's it.
Yeah. It's not even the name that matters. It's just getting out there and showing people that we exist and showing how much we love what we do, and hopefully people can connect to that.
Yeah, that spotlight. I mean, that's basically free advertisement, you know.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah. Which is why you stick around and record for like 12 hours a day.
That's the what keeps us inspired.
Yeah, the catch.
because, you know, like, it seems almost like summer camp when you're there for, you know, a couple months. Was there anybody who, like, you didn't get along with? Like, anyone in your age group or people who resented you guys?
Not really. We got along with everyone very well. We got along with all the producers extremely well, and we were just friends with everyone. We're pretty friendly guys. We're not really... in the process of making enemies. We're just, we're actually great friends with Taylor Williamson. You may know him. He's from the year before. Yeah, season 8, the runner-up.
Oh.
I'm not sure if you know him. Yeah, and we're great. We met him there, and ever since, we've been great friends.
We've been really great friends with him, and he invited us to perform with him, and that was a lot of fun. So, yeah, we're really, really good friends with him, and... I don't know if he's listening, but he likes to have a lot of fun with us on social media, so that's always a blast.
He sure does.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
What's your grandfather think of heavy metal music, man? That's what I wanted to ask you.
Oh, he loves it. He just wishes he had longer hair so he could headbang. That's the only thing. He wants to windmill.
Yeah. Well, he wants to windmill. Wow. That's a cool grandpa, man.
Yep. And you'd be surprised. He's rocking out to Megadeth. He loves that stuff. Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
dude.
We exposed him, yeah.
Yeah, dude, my dad will not even come close to it, let alone my grandfather. Like, yeah, that's cool, man. He taught you guys how to play, right? How to play the cello?
Yes. He taught us from the very beginning. Since we were 4 years old, the cello, we just picked it up from him, and he taught us everything classical. And then we just said, why don't we just apply this to the music that we like of our generation? I mean, not even our generation, it's just the music
from
that
the
we
80s,
like.
Yeah,
from the 80s. And the interesting thing is that metal is so similar to classical music. A lot of the stuff from metal is just a different form of classical music, just like classical music with distortion. So for us, the transition wasn't even that difficult. It was just the attitude about it.
Yeah, it is also about going on stage and having fun and really playing because you love it and not because you have to.
Right.
Like, it becomes like a whole passion of its own.
I like watching you guys play because you have giant smiles on your face the whole time.
Yeah, we like what we do.
You don't see that too often because, you know, when you watch like Apocalyptica, they're all just like, because he's like serious, like, you know, going to kill you looks on their faces.
Yep, angry Finnish cellos. Yep.
John, do you have anything else?
Well, don't let the machine chew you up, man. Stay happy, stay positive.
Thank you.
Yeah, don't get ripped off. Oh, yeah, I was going to ask, do they have, because, you know, like when you get out of there, it's kind of like a whirlwind where you got everybody coming up to you trying to get something from you. you know, as far as like managers and agents, like does America's Got Talent kind of hook you up with, you know, show you something positive, like say, hey, you know, these agencies are good, you can trust them?
Actually, AGT didn't really play a role in that, but there were a lot of people that did want to kind of get a piece of us, kind of, but so it was very important to pick the best of what we really liked, and we think we did a very good choice with our incredible manager, John McEntee, and he's been getting us amazing shows, and ever since, we're super happy with him. So
We actually met him at live shows in Las Vegas. And America's Got Talent. He flew in just to see us perform, and immediately we all got along extremely well, and we were signed.
Yeah, we all kind of connected and fell in love in that way.
Yeah.
Wow, you made it all the way to the live show without getting signed, huh?
Yeah, AGT doesn't sign anybody nowadays. Everything that you see.
They actually used to give these like Sony record deals, but now after like Sony saw how a lot of the acts they put through are just for shows, and Sony decided not to sign any acts.
Yeah,
they just backed away from.
Because a lot of acts that get off the show, they think that they have all this publicity, so that they have this kind of like elevated status. They're a little over their heads, and in reality, they don't have anything really in terms of the
actual. You can have a Sony record deal, but that doesn't mean that your albums are going to sell.
Right. Yeah. Just because you get millions of views on a TV doesn't mean that you're going to become. You have to be able to use that exposure the right way. Then you can get something out of it.
It seems like you guys are. That's pretty good.
Thank you. Yeah. We hope so. We're working hard, so we hope so.
No, that's pretty good, man. Well, I wish you guys continued success.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thanks for taking time out of your day to talk to us.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. This was a lot of fun for us.
All right, guys. You have a good night.
Have a great day. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
No problem.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
I like those guys.
Yeah. some nice chaps, nice gentlemen.
Whoa. Hold on. All right, we are back with Kenny White.
Kenny White.
Kenny White.
Shout out to White Hair.
White Hair Productions. Kenny White is a friend of ours from a long time ago when he used to live in Indianapolis, and he used to party hard.
He's friends with the United Cannabis Church guy, I think.
Yes. You can hear he has a podcast on Strange Label as well, entitled...
We got him on there. You're welcome.
Entitled Howie at the Coffee Shop.
I like that show. I like those guys.
Available at Howie's Coffee.
It says Kenny is busy.
Busy?
Busy. I'll call him again. He just he messaged us, said, ready? And then I called him. I guess I should say yes. And then, oh, he's busy now. He's still busy.
Really?
Yeah, Mr. Kenny White, too busy to take the call from the Chris Breaks show. Mr. Hollywood.
All right, text. We're calling now.
Hollywood White.
Too lazy for that apostrophe.
Yeah, you can't keep up with that. Someone called me out the other day on Facebook about that. She was like, went off on me, dude, about like not using the right punctuation and stuff. It was like, wow, I didn't realize that made people that angry.
What was her beef?
That I used wrong grammar and punctuation. She was just like having Kenny is still busy, just had a rant fest on me, you know, about how she doesn't like to get on Facebook and see people spelling things wrong and this, that, and the other. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was offensive to people. Sometimes I was like, I'm on Facebook, you know, just a little bit here and there, and it's usually just real. I was saying something to Mary Elizabeth. Shout out to Mary Elizabeth Rimsey.
Did you type to lady, you're annoying?
No. John Luther got in the conversation there.
That's a 40-ounce pimps, buddy.
Right, yeah. We're stealing friends from 40 ounces is basically the goal here. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what 40 said. He's like, don't be stealing my friends, man.
He said that?
He said that to me, yeah. He's like, don't be going and being friends with all my friends, man. So what did I do? I wouldn't have done it if you not mentioned it, but now there's something to add. But yeah, so I was like to Mary Elizabeth Rumsey. I was like, hey, Mary, check out this big giant hole in the ground. You know, it was like some weird hole in Texas. you know, like draining. It looked like there was a someone just pulled the plug on the earth, and there was just water going down. And it was some sensational story. I don't know. It was just a picture of someone looked like they pulled a plug out of a bathtub and it was draining a lake. And it was like, hey, Mary, what do you know about this draining lake? And this Ashley girl, Ashley Harness, on my Facebook friends, she's from Indy. We love her. She's a good girl. And you know what I'm saying is, you know, it's like, hey, I get it, dude. You
I know, don't know who she is, but you're putting her on blast.
I'm not putting her.
John's dropping bombs.
That's a Beretta. Sounds like a Beretta. But anyway, so it's not a blast because we had to fight.
Ashley Harness. Shit's about to get real.
Real silly on the grill radio.
How dare you text us, Ashley Harness, using all caps. You're going to text John with all caps?
You're going to put my Facebook page using all caps? Well, it's okay.
Yeah, John loves you.
Yeah, she was just going. I was like, I get it. You know, you're it's like something builds up over the time, and then it's like, what? You know, you're tired of seeing people.
Kenny's going
to
miss his window, man.
I've been constantly.
All right, let me
him.
Explain something.
We're doing this.
We made a rule. No friends on our show. We're not bringing friends on as guests. We're not bringing friends on as co-hosts.
No co-hosts on the Chris Bray Show. Unless you're not a friend.
Yes.
No friends, man. It's just don't miss business and
pleasure. I know Kenny listens to this show. He has to. So he must have heard us say no friends on the show. And then what does he do? Contact me and say, hey, man, can I come on your show and talk about my movie and promote our radio show on Strange Label, the same label that we're all on. We're all brothers of Strange Label. Howie at the Coffee Shop live Saturday nights, I believe at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Check it out.
You get a show there for an hour, which gets podcasted, but then they do the second hour and they just spin records of independent artists.
Yeah, you were telling me about
and
that.
And they don't That's upload cool. that. So if you want to check that out.
You got to hear live. I'm going to start bootlegging that.
But they don't always go live, which I find annoying.
Oh, you got it. You got it all or nothing, man.
You Unless should put something there to fill your time.
That Christian Slater movie where he was the DJ, that's what he did. He came on whenever he wanted to, and sometimes it was a few hours, sometimes it was 10 minutes. That's what the girl liked about it in the movie. Charles U. Farley, shout out to Charles U. Farley. See if you get the joke there. Charles U. Farley.
I like that. That's a weird sound effect.
Whispers. Yeah. That was weird. That was so weird.
We got to use... Oh, there you go.
Not as weird, but that clapping in...
Oh.
I'm going to do it. Ew. Yeah. Nice.
We got to use this on a record.
Kenny White dropped the call is what it said now.
Oh.
This song's called Kenny White didn't answer the phone. That's a shout out to the old Chris Brake, the naked Chris Brake, the naked phase. That was an old band we had. The naked phase.
Kenny White won't answer his phone.
Kenny White.
Oh, I like that.
Hey, man, let me come on your show. Let me play my trailer on your show. I'll talk about my movie. It'll be awesome. My name is Kenny White. Call me up. Come on your show. Talk about my trailer. Have a good time. Yeah. When you go, I don't answer the phone. Boom, boom, boom.
Song there.
Nice. We're putting in some tracks, dude.
What is going on here?
That's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. He's online. He just sent us a message, said, "Are you ready?" And then, you know, 2 seconds later, I called him, and I've been calling him nonstop, even while we were singing the Kenny White song. I've been calling the guy.
This is obnoxious.
Hey, thanks a lot, Kenny. You're wasting my time.
Yeah,
I got stuff to do here, man.
Yeah, and we're not re-recording this.
Nope. You got one chance on your Chris Breaks show.
I'm going to call him.
Unless, you know, we don't have anybody next week. Then you're definitely on the list there. But then if this happens again, I don't know if you are.
I'm calling him on my cell phone.
Well, hey, guys, I'm just smoking a whole bunch of weed. What are you doing?
I'm trying to get you on the show, dude.
What's up?
John forgot too, you guys. This is the way.
Hello, Kenny, what the fuck, man?
Oh, hello there.
Hey, what the fuck? Did you try calling me and it not work? Because I didn't get anything on my end.
A bunch of times.
It says you're busy or you're...
Busy,
you're...
call, drop, no answer. Doesn't like you is what one of them said.
Yeah, one of them says Kenny White does not like you.
That was rough.
Well, sorry that Scott said that.
Oh, it's Skype.
I'm in a different area. Like, I was on the road. I figured if
that's
I'm on
okay.
The road,
can you call us on the?
Nowhere.
Can you call us on the Skype?
Yeah, I'll try that.
All right, thanks.
All right, no problem.
Kenny White. Yeah. Kenny White. He's in a different area. That's the reason why. Oh, man, we're in a different area. I don't know if we're going to be able to answer this.
Hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, we're good then. Sorry about that.
No problem.
My Skype just doesn't like you.
This internet, you know.
All right, so tell me about this movie, guy.
All right, so this movie is called The Birthday Massacre. So it's a horror movie. It's kind of in the vein of the 80s, you know, slasher movies. But the big thing about the movie is it's got story to it. Because I'm a horror movie guy, but I'm not one of those guys. You know, I'm not the guy who wants to watch something with tons of blood and guts. I want to watch something with a story to it, no matter what it is. Like, I think the greatest movie ever made is Psycho. And so, movies like that, you know, it's more about story and not about, you know...
Is Psycho defined as a horror film, or is it a suspense thriller?
Psychological mind if...
Psycho officially, I think, falls into the slasher category. You know, it's not the first slasher movie. That was Peeping Tom. It beat it by a couple of months.
Peeping Tom?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. I don't like...
Name says it all.
I don't like horror movies, but I love Psycho.
Now, why is that, Kenny? Because you're a horror movie buffoon, right?
I like the ones that have good stories, like, you know, the Year 2, I would say, or Psycho, and... Halloween, you know, things like Night of the Living Dead. Night of the Living Dead's not a movie about zombies. It's a movie about, you know, people in a bad situation. So if there's a story to it, it's a good movie. I don't care what genre it is.
Right.
Oh, you're twisting around. Okay. I like that that mindset there.
Look for the story.
It's not about zombies. It's about people in a bad situation coming together to figure out how to get themselves out of it.
And it happens to have zombies in it.
And the bad situation happens to be zombies.
Exactly. Like, I guarantee you could watch a zombie movie every moment that you're awake, and most of them are bad, but you know, there's an abundance of them out there.
So I really like zombie movies as long as there's no zombies in them.
Yeah.
So Romero stuff where, you know, you get a lot of zombies, but like, you know, then you have like 45 minutes of just character development.
I liked I Am Legend, except for when those stupid black things came out of the shadows.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw that once. I'm a Richard Matheson fan, but I didn't really dig the movie.
Is that the beaver?
The beaver.
Leave it to Beaver?
No, that's somebody else. I don't know. Something Mathers. I don't know. Some other guy. But no, the Richard Matheson, that was the guy who wrote the book. And he wrote What Dreams May Come. He was one of those guys. He was one of those guys that did a lot of genre stuff. But, you know, he did a lot of stuff. Like What Dreams May Come might be like one of the best books ever written, I think.
Really?
I like that movie.
Yeah, the movie was great. The movie made me cry. I remember seeing it like when it came out and I was a kid and all that.
That was a rough movie, dude.
Yeah.
That's got Tony Soprano's psycho Mercedes dealer girlfriend in there.
I've never seen The Sopranos. Like, I'm one of those guys, I catch up later, but then, like, the next day, everybody's bitching about the ending. Like, you know, now it's kind of like, well, I don't know. Everybody's pissed off. Why do I want to see it?
On the radio show, we just agree with stuff, you know? Oh, yeah, that is what...
Okay, I got you.
What do you mean you got me?
I got you, man. That's it.
Set him up.
This is why friends don't come on the show, I guess. Because if you do, you get ripped.
Kenny, we made a rule. Like, that said no more friends on the show.
You had to have known about it, right?
And then you asked us if you could come on the show.
Yeah, I did, but...
Well,
you're
not our friend, dude? Come on.
I am your friend, but I'm your friend that needs help. Because, okay, I shot this movie, The Birthday Massacre, in 2011.
Is there a website? Where do we send people to check this out?
Okay, so go to whitehairproductions.com. There's links to everything you need right there. That's white like the color, hair like the stuff that's on various parts of your body, possibly not.
Well, no, it's Productions. Like, it's like your last name and your partner's last name, right? That's how.
Yeah, the good company name. Was
Whitingale.
Right, Whitingale. That's a good way to remember it. Tony and Masongale.
But yeah, the company was started by Kenny White and Harry Massengale. So it's White Hair Productions. So you go whitehairproductions.com or you can go birthday-massacre.com.
Nice.
Birthday-massacre.com.
Yes.
I'm going to say it again.
I say dash because if I say hyphen, some people get really fucking confused.
Birthday-massacre.com.
Nice domain, yes. Bro.
But yeah, and you can follow us on Twitter. You know, we let people know when we're looking for something. And what we're looking for right now
What do you need help with?
We need special effects, like digital stuff. What we need is day for night type of stuff, you know? So we shot it during the day, and we need to switch it over to where it looks like it's nighttime.
Yeah, the blue filter, that's all it is.
Well, yeah, for the most part, like on some of the easier stuff, I did all the easiest stuff myself. So all in all, there's about 10 minutes worth of movie that needed to be touched up. I did about 5 to 6 minutes.
You got four minutes of film you need to be touched up?
10 minutes. So 10 altogether, including the stuff that I would like someone who knows what they're doing to go back over, because I'm a hell of an editor. You know, like my first movie was made just to fucking learn how to make a movie. It was our $10,000 film school. And that movie's called Maybe Tomorrow. Like, it's not the best movie, but you know, if you want to see
John
like,
Rapp's in it.
Yeah, dude.
John Rapp and
Steals
Chris
the show is what I heard from the critics.
We're both in it.
I've never read that.
Pretending to be, extras.
Yeah.
That's so hard, man.
It was hard.
That's so difficult because you're supposed to, you're sitting there.
Just act naturally.
You're
know?
In the background of the shot and you're supposed to sit there and act like you're doing something.
But not talking. Yeah.
So you're just doing these obnoxious like hand emotions, you know?
Act like you're talking to each other.
Yeah, I think it was about like 2.5 hours of like John, like, I don't know, reading a book and Chris sketching and you guys pretending to talk every now and then. John makes great faces, though. That's the best thing.
Yeah, I think we shot that for 2 hours, didn't we?
Probably, yeah, I would say.
That was a long day, dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 2 hours shooting one thing in a movie is not too bad. You look at it. Spend all day, you know, like ripping a hole in somebody, like we did on this movie. Because originally the plan was not to do any digital effects. We wanted to do it all old school practical because I think it looks better. And that was my plan. But due to scheduling conflicts, you know, it didn't work out to where we could shoot extra days. So we had to do what we could during those days. And some of those involved exteriors that we had to shoot a little bit before, you know, magic hour. So it's a little too bright.
This whole thing was shot on film. How did you pay for that?
Well, it was all funded by me and my co-producers.
Wait, really? I thought I was making a joke. You really shot that on film?
No, I was just gonna go with it though.
He's agreeing with you, John.
Nice. Hey, you're trainable. You want to be our co-host?
Well, you know, I live really far away. If I lived in Indy still, I probably would.
Yeah, you can't be on it.
So what type of work needs to be done on this thing?
Yeah.
Like someone needs to like...
Day for night. Why can't you guys do that? Like, you guys are the wizards. You guys helped us with our movie on the FX. What's up? What are you looking for?
Okay, so some of it, like I said, we had to shoot before magic hour. So anything that's within magic hour, early the fuck in the morning when the sun's just right and you can tweak it, you can't tell if it's day or night. And right before the sun goes down, can't tell if it's day or night. If you shoot it just right and you know how to tweak it. That part I got figured out. But when it comes to the more advanced stuff, where we had to shoot a little, you know, we're shooting it like, you know, 9:30 p.m. in Indianapolis in the summertime. It's still fucking bright as fuck outside, but we got a schedule to stay on, you know?
Right.
And everything we have left to shoot right here, we have to do outside. So some of the stuff, you know, I've gone through and I've done some of it myself. It's really fucking hard because I have no interest in digital effects at all.
What Mr. White? What about Harry or whatever? Didn't he?
Mr. White? Harry?
Well,
yeah, he's the guy who did stuff for us, right? He's not down with that anymore?
Well, I mean, Harry's really good at it, but, you know, Harry and I live in different states, and Harry's kind of hard to get a hold of sometimes and hard to get stuff to. And
I can vouch for that.
That guy does tedious stuff, man. Like, that guy, you guys had
A sign. Electric like sign or something.
Yeah, like a Marlboro sign or something. And it was, in every shot. And he sat there on his computer using the same tools that we had, but didn't know how to use, and he fucking digitally removed it.
Took it out.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah, tomorrow we had our own cigarette brands, and there was a giant Durell sign in the entire movie. And so now you look at it, and it says Fumar, which is, you know, Spanish for smoke, even though I don't have a proper accent.
Well, it looks like you can do this in Final Cut Pro X. Have you tried Final Cut Pro X?
Okay, well, here's where the dilemma comes in. So I've done the easy stuff, and then all the shots that are left, I've really done the day for night. But where the problem comes in is it's shot at a level of lighting where you have to separate layers. So I've separated the actors from the background, and, you know, I've taken care of the background. Background looks beautiful. Now it's like I got to go frame by frame and change where each layer is kind of cut, because it's not like Photoshop where you can just take it and, you know, do whatever you want forever. You have to do it frame by frame.
Odesk, dude.
Are we going to watch this? We haven't even watched it.
You guys want to watch the trailer?
I can't stand this Night for Day, though.
John, I'm going to
fix it.
What? Yeah.
John,
just kidding. Right.
Whoa, hello?
Not been Night for Day, dude.
All right, John. I'm grabbing a handheld mic and I'm coming over there with you.
Oh, nice.
We're fancy, dude. We don't have to move any monitors. We just grab handheld mics.
We're so fancy.
Although I don't have headphones.
All right. So before you guys play the trailer, let me tell you. So So no one has seen the trailer, and no one will actually see the trailer until we really know what's going on.
Whoa.
Nice.
The movie. My goal is to finish the movie December 31st, 11:59 p.m., no matter how it looks. So if anybody is on board out there to come help us with our digital effects, please do, because the movie's either going to come out, and look awesome, or it's going to look kind of shitty in some parts. But
goal. Just get it done.
So this trailer is it's a rough cut of the trailer. I haven't gone through and mastered the audio, and I haven't done the final touches on the video yet, but it's fine. It's good enough. You know, I'm a badass. I can do pretty good stuff and luff and luff and luff and pass.
Stuff and luff and luff and luff and.
But this is the trailer for the movie.
Sorry, you're skipping a lot. Okay. He was presenting the trailer. He was giving a build-up. We were supposed to click play.
This computer's locked up, dude.
Oh, this computer's locked up, dude.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, you guys still using that Ubuntu shit?
Ubuntu. You tell me.
Hey.
Okay. Well, man, you know you can download Windows 10 for free, right?
Yeah, once they finally get around to giving it to you, right? Or wait, do you know something I don't? You're on a waiting list or whatever.
You're way into it now. You just want to evaluate it. Yeah.
Well.
Huh.
Well, hold on. We'll go and install Windows and we'll call you back.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, somebody's giving me signs through the window and I'm not sure what they're doing here. But
are they deaf?
Is it you? Is she wearing clothes in the window? What's going? Is it your window?
It's my window.
Are you peeping in someone's window?
No, I don't do that anymore.
Nice. That just gets you in trouble, dude. I can tell you from
experience. No, because since I made movies like this, people start to. So, you know, I let a lot of people read the script for The Birthday Massacre, and from the script and from my first movie, Maybe Tomorrow, I got a lot of writing jobs on it. Like,
You made money writing scripts. Like, I was amazed by that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, Kenny here writes...
I mean, it was cool, like, you know...
He'll write your script in 5 seconds.
Yeah, Kenny writes these, like, B-movie, like, the stuff that you watch, you gather all your friends, and it's like, dude, this is going to be awful. We got to see this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
So
like, why do you write those? Do you feel like somebody's sucking your soul out when you write those? Because you like to write.
Absolutely. 100%. Because the reason that I got into film is because I wanted to be a writer. And for some reason, I thought it would be easier to kind of get my stories out there on film than in like a novel format or something like that, you know? And so, you know, I get something from it, from the creating of it. But when it's somebody's like, okay, man, we need like this really hot, sexy blue alien chick who's going to fight this monster looking alien chick. We're going to call it Aliens versus Avatars. So we need a bunch of kids in the woods. Go. And it's like, fuck, man, what the hell? And then it sucks when you write in a...
Oh, did you have a bunch of rewrites? I think we lost him, dude. I think the computer's gone for the... Took a nosedive.
Oh, we lost Kenny?
I think the computer froze up.
Oh. Well, here's the deal. I'm moving around a lot. I'm all over the studio. But let me grab
12
this.
12 tabs, dude. 12 tabs. Locks it up.
All right, now we know the limit.
All right. One of them is blank. Goodness gracious.
Well, check this out, John.
Fire.
Here we go. Listen, I'm going to plug this in. We're going to watch this trailer.
I'm going to restart his computer.
I've got an iPad.
Oh, nice.
Do you want to watch this or should I watch it by myself?
I can hear it.
You can't see it, though.
Apparently, you don't need, you know, he said it's not done with it. I, you know.
Whoa. What am I watching? Whoa, yeah, that...
Everybody's
there. Need some compression or something there. Why is that so, why'd that get so loud, so quiet to so loud?
He's got the Big Nate compressor on.
Good night,
honey.
I love you. Happy birthday.
Whoa. Killed his mom? Dude.
Killed? What?
It's about to get scary.
Go to your new home?
I think it's locked up. Oh, here we go.
Do you know the story of our Lord Jesus? Do you want to come sit with me?
Nice Christian film. Nice.
Somebody just slid their underwear off.
Nice.
Did you hear something?
People are making out.
The gym babe.
They're kissing. Somebody just got stabbed. I see blood, lots of blood.
You don't kiss in horror movies, dude.
Haven't you seen that? I saw a boob, but I think that was a man boob. I gotta rewind this. I'm gonna pause this.
Kenny, man, is there a man boob in there?
There is.
I guess that's okay, but you know, what is it, who do you have to appease?
Kenny said I was rambling and lost you. Let me know when you want me to call back.
Yeah, that's why we cut you off, because you were rambling, dude. You got to get it together.
Now. Now. What's that noise?
Here's my fern.
Okay, look at this, John. Look at the shadows here. Doesn't that look... Doesn't that... The way the shadows line up, doesn't that look like a boob?
It is. It's a man, like it's you said. But yeah, the shot makes it look like it's a woman's breast on a man. Dude. Bravo.
So, thoughts?
Bravo.
I don't like horror movies, man.
Yeah, but what do you think about that? Do you see anything appealing in it, even though it's a horror movie and you don't like horror movies?
Only if there's nudity in it.
Well, there's nudity in it.
Nudity. We saw a naked man.
Did you?
Yeah, it was pretty, shirtless. Pretty good looking dude.
Well, I like, he's shirtless, yeah.
Plus, I really like low-budget films like that. I really like the fact of people getting nude in there. Like, there's this local guy named Don Boner, real name, and he made this, like, this, I don't even know, this film that's kind of like James Dean-ish. I have no idea. I can't remember what it's called. But, I mean, it's horrible. But this chick gets naked in it.
Yeah, you know, out of the blue. It's like you weren't even expecting that.
Yeah, there's no reason for her to get naked. It's made by some local director, old man, you know. And it's just like, this is so great because I feel like I'm just watching somebody's home video.
Yeah, it's like very disturbing. You know,
like, because this isn't a celebrity. This is like some, it's a desperate. I like the idea of
it. We met that actress and it's like, dude, Chris was like, dude, we've seen that chick naked, dude. It's like, really? Yeah, dude, she was the one who got naked in the Boner film.
That's always a great experience. It's really nice when they've been on set naked in front of you all day, and then they bring you a bottle of rum at the end.
It's weird.
I've never had that.
Yeah, it's weird, but, dude. You know. I'm telling you, it's weird.
But yeah, it's good times. But no, it's like I really hate nudity in all movies for the most part because it's distracting.
What are you, a homo? Sorry.
I'm not a homo. I mean, some movies, like, you know, I'll watch just because there's nudity. Like, I couldn't tell you how many times I watched American Pie when I was, like, fucking...
Was there nudity in that?
Oh, yeah. Fucking, what's her name? Shannon Elizabeth? Like, she's fucking naked dancing around for 5 minutes.
The only time I ever watch a movie for nudity, really, is when, I think a while ago, Dr. Robert and I would, you know, it'd be a summer day, and it's like, dude, we need to cool off. Let's go to Dollar Theater, watch a film. And nothing looked good. So what we would do is look at the ratings, and whichever one on the poster said it was rated R because that nudity in it, we'd see that one.
You did that with your friend? That's kind of fucked up.
No, it's just some guy you met on the street, right?
Yeah, it was my friend. It wasn't a stranger.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like,
what movie did you see anything good out of that?
We weren't jerking each other off in it. Was
I don't know, man. It's just like, I don't know, going to look at boobies with my friends. I don't do good at the strip club. Like, it kind of weirds me out.
Same here. I'm uncomfortable with it, Kenny. I'll hold that with you. I don't like to do it. I like going to strip club. It weirds me out. If I'm going to go somewhere and see someone getting naked, I'm going to perform some lustful act. I don't want a bunch of guys in the room with it.
I agree with you guys, but I force myself to get over it.
And, you know,
yeah, well,
why,
I don't know.
Why,
like,
is that?
Why what?
Why would you do that? What do you find interesting about the strip club if you don't like it, Chris?
Because I'm a pervert. No, I find it awkward and weird, right.
You just get over it because that's what you have to do to
witness this.
Yeah,
it's a weird, uncomfortable situation, but it's like you're going to the circus, you know?
It's a weird. I understand. I think you like it more for the community vibe, like you're just a hangout. You get to hang out at a bar, look at naked ladies.
Yeah, well, I never have gone by myself to a strip club.
I've gone to a titty bar where it's like me and the guys are hanging out. We're drinking beers, you know, but like usually when I go, it's like, okay, so the biggest pervert is the first one to get a lap dance. And then it's just like all my friends get really weird. And I don't know. I get uncomfortable.
If I were going to a strip club, I would be the first guy getting the lap dance. It's like, you know, that's what I'm going for, dude. I'm not going to play around with this, you know.
Dr. Robert's always the first guy.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Hey, I can respect that. It's like, if you're going to do it, you know.
So John walks in, he's there for 5 minutes, drinks beer, and leaves.
There you go. Get back to business. Get back to business, you know? Why spend 3 hours in there?
I don't know. Can I tell us one thing you did? Like, I went to...
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, okay. I'm an open book, unfortunately.
I found this to be the funniest thing ever. I don't...
Yeah, I've been to a strip club a few times, and I always felt weird about it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I always made some big deal about it. I was like, oh, I don't know.
But... this girl on stage took your glasses from you, John, and she rubbed them in her private parts.
Right.
And I remember smelled them when she gave them back to you.
Yeah, that probably cracked, looked good.
That cracked me up.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a classy guy right here.
Like, I like to smell things, you know? She had a pretty perfume. I'll get hard off of a, you know, since how we're going there, let's go there. I'll get an erection off of a, you know, a smell, a pretty perfume smell more than some girl with her titties in your face. Just because I don't even know why. I don't know why. I can't rationalize. It doesn't make any sense. That's just what happens to me.
So she rubbed her panties in your face. Is that what I caught?
No, the glasses and the boobs, Kenny.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You know how when they want to rub their boobs in your face, for some reason they got to make a big fucking ordeal out of taking your glasses off.
That's sexy. That's like that's very sexy. And
that annoys
some
me.
Of them don't do it.
I just wish she'd treat me like I was at the barber shop and she just asked me to take my glasses off, you know? But yeah, she takes your glasses off.
It's kind of sexy, you know? It's like, hey, let me take these off. Okay, go right ahead there.
Yeah, so she does that, and then she rubs the boobs in the face, and then before handing the glasses back to him, she put them between her legs and rubbed them around.
Oh, really?
Oh,
and
really?
And then handed them back to him.
Okay, well, yeah, what's the first thing you're going to do? That area smells. That area has a very potent smell.
Well, I guess you got to make sure you don't got to throw your glasses away or anything.
But
like
to
that.
Your
so,
to
yeah,
your defense, John, sure you do smell everything.
Everything. And the smell's going to go away. So if there was a time that you were going to smell that crotch smell in the glasses, that would have been like right now. It's like, oh, I got to try it right now. I don't know. I don't know why I did it. I'm just trying to.
I just thought it was hilarious.
That is probably funny. And then maybe the next time around she didn't do it.
Yeah. I don't know. So is glasses the only thing you've ever smelled a woman's scent on before? Is that like the weirdest thing?
And the underwear, you know, it's there a lot.
I mean, that's pretty common. I would say, 60% of guys do that.
I would say the weird thing would be shoes.
Oh, yeah, shoes, yeah. I like to smell shoes.
But women's shoes,
but not with their vagina rubbing all over them, though, right?
Right, yeah, it wasn't nice. But yeah, women's shoes. I don't go smell it. And I don't go smell women's shoes when I had a wife.
Yeah.
I smelled her shoes, and I liked it. And she would say, "Do they stink?" And I would say, "No."
So
I was just glad that she wasn't weird by it. She's like, "Why are you?" She wasn't like, you know, "Why are you doing that?" She would say, "Do they stink?" "No, they don't." And that was that.
Is that why that one made wife status? Because she wasn't bothered when you smelled her shoes?
Yep, that's how you know, man. You smell the shoes. If they have a problem with it, no go.
That's the ultimate test.
It really is. That if that isn't love, I don't know what is.
If that isn't love, I don't want to know what it is.
I could agree with that.
I don't know. I had a wife. I tried to do things with her shoes, too. But maybe you should stay off the shoes because that doesn't work out too well in the end.
I think, yeah, I see your point. If I had to go around again, I might nix the shoes thing. Might not do the shoe thing. But I'd like to be with someone who's okay with it. They're okay with it. If me smelling your shoes makes us break up, bye-bye, because I do a lot weirder stuff than that, let me tell you.
All right, well, John, how many years did it take before you smelled the shoes? Like, how far into the relationship?
I think we're talking weeks.
Yeah, see, I think that's something you got to break out in like 2 years, like for most people.
I go right to the shoe. I'm like a dog.
Yeah, but it lasted years. No,
smelled the shoes for years, dude.
Yeah, see, he did the opposite thing.
I would give her a big foot massage.
He laid some ground rules.
Yeah, get the crazy.
Says, I'm smelling these fucking shoes. And that was the beginning of the relationship. And then by the end, he was allowed to do whatever he wanted. Whereas, see, if you're waiting 2 years, then this woman's going to feel duped. Like, oh, I didn't know I was dealing with a shoe sniffer.
Okay. I got to put all the craziness right there on Front Street. Just right away, you say it. I got it.
I guess understood. So. Or if you're in this situation now, here's what I would suggest. You couple it up. The reason you have the shoe is because you're giving a foot massage, you see? You know, yeah, the reason you have the shoes is because you're doing something super nice. You're about to give them a foot massage, you know, so they don't mind you smelling their feet.
Well, I think if you're giving a foot massage, just bypass the shoe sniffing and just go straight for sucking a toe, and they get the idea. Then the shoe sniffing's nothing from there, you know?
You get the whole package with me. I want to smell the shoe. I'm going to smell it. You don't like it?
Oh, so it's a process.
I guess it is, you know. I just want to smell the shoe. If you were to tell me, you know, hey, it's fine giving me the massage, don't smell the shoe, I would want to smell it even more.
See, now, here's a weird thing. I've never been super into feet.
Me either.
I dated a girl once, and she would like do the thing under the table with her foot, like pleasure. She'd pleasure me under the table with her foot,
right?
While people are sitting there, you know.
That's very uncomfortable.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome.
That's like a comedy.
But because of that, it made me really attracted to her feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would do weird things with her feet that I've never done with any other woman.
Right.
That's interesting. Huh, so are do you still have the foot thing, even though you and her aren't together anymore? So it was just for her?
Just hers.
Just because of what she did with the foot.
Yeah.
Because it's a good foot. You know what? You know what? It is a good foot, because if you're not careful with what you're doing, you'll crush the balls and stuff, you know? Let me put my foot in your cross. You know, you got to finesse it. You know, you got to have a skill. Like these people put their foot in your crotch, like they know what they're doing, or they should.
They should. I mean, she had practice, right?
You had to go there.
What he said? My head. What? Did you do that on purpose?
No.
I accidentally unplugged my headphones. I didn't hear what he said.
Well, I guess we won't repeat that. But you know, there's a shot in The Birthday Massacre where a woman gives a little quick, you know, foot touch to the dick. So you know, there's.
Now, where did that come from, Kenny? Is that some? Would you like to have your penis touched with a foot?
Well, this one particular character just reminded me of a girl I once knew. But
it better not be the same girl, motherfucker.
Oh, wait.
It's not.
Yo, wait. How do you know she had practice, Kenny?
Just an assumption. If they're good at something, they've done it more than once.
Typically. Keep backpedaling there.
Yeah. I like to think of that she was a one-time phenomenon, like who?
I think girls could just do it.
Naturally talented. I don't think
if you're gonna do something like that.
I don't think she practices. I think she's only done that with me ever in her life.
So the foot thing was just between the two.
Yeah, I don't think she's. I don't think she's ever shared her feet with anybody else.
She probably couldn't. If she tried to, it probably just wouldn't work.
Yeah, because I hold the magic key.
The one man foot type of thing.
Yeah,
that's a sweet story. It sounds like some like Nicholas Sparks book or something. You know,
Bubba Sparks,
the girl, the man with the golden foot. Or no,
you.
the man with the golden foot.
Keep that foot.
Yeah,
it's my people coming to talk to me.
Dustin's here with me right now.
Hey, yo, shout out to Dustin here right now.
Now, I'm trying to think, what would be a, what's a Nicholas? Safe haven? Foot haven.
Let's say, oh, there you go, foot haven.
Or what about a foot to remember?
Ow.
That's a good one. A foot to remember.
So he did a walk to remember?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't think so.
Kenny, I got a question for you.
That was before his time. What's that?
Why didn't you get the band, The Birthday Massacre, to play music in the movie, The Birthday Massacre? They're pretty hot. Did you see that girl in that band? She's hot.
Oh, she is hot, yeah.
And girl, well, she's hot.
Yeah, I've tried to contact them before, hot. But I don't get anything. I contact, H-O-T. I go wherever their website or whatever the fuck, you know, and I
Chris, look at this girl. She's hot. Over.
I can't see her, man. We got this giant board up.
She's like, oh, yeah, that darn board, you know. I told you.
I'm going to get a mirror to put behind you.
Look at this.
All right, hold on.
Are you? Yeah, a mirror. A mirror.
All right, what do we got over here?
She's hot, dude.
Let me see.
Look at her. Is she hot?
She's hot.
I told you, she's hot.
She's hot.
Ow.
I hate that. I hate situations like this because it's like it reminds me of Hanson, where like you look at this guy.
The rest of them are guys.
Yeah, but you think this chick's hot, and then you realize it's a dude.
No, that's not a dude. I've looked into it.
It's full woman.
These are all dudes. Yeah, the band is dudes. Look at this guy.
That guy looks like a cover of a lunchbox or.
I was gonna say it looks like Manson-esque looking dude.
But that girl's hot.
That girl is super hot. Kenny, what's the deal? Why didn't you get her on the show? Are you gay?
Oh no, show. I'm not gay. She's very attractive. I'd put her on the list. I don't know where she falls, but she definitely makes the list. But
why isn't she in the movie?
I've tried to contact them through whatever means it is on their website, you know, whoever that actually goes to. I don't know, maybe Chris Brake's show should have them on and be like, do you guys know about this movie?
I don't know. I've never heard of it. I think they're from the UK. That makes us so
funny. No, they're from Canada, I believe.
Oh, I like Canada.
I do too.
That's why they're so pasty and white. I like it.
Yeah, Canadians got good, you know, good different types of music styles.
But they got all that fucking state-sponsored music, man.
What?
State-sponsored music?
That sounds cool.
Like, they've got weird control over their radio stations.
I typed that in, the first thing that comes up is China. State-sponsored music in China. But you're saying Canada has it.
Yeah, type in, like 80%
music of Canada.
Yeah, 80%, you know, the radio station, you know, era has to be Canadian artists.
Canadian Broadcasting Company.
Yeah, something like that. The CBC. And you're definitely not allowed to say anything bad about, you know, the Queen or whatever the hell they got going on over there.
Joseph Quisnell.
What do they have? They have the, the Prime Minister in Canada?
Guy Lombardo.
That's who it is. No, I don't know.
I don't think
so. Neil Young. These are people on the Wikipedia page for Canada.
I think the show's over, guys.
Yeah, good movie. You know, it looks good.
Birthday-massacre.com. And
girl's hot, dude. Look
Howie at the coffee shop Monday or Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Kenny, we've been listening to the show, man. It's getting good. Thanks for
you guys are liking it. You liking Howie at the coffee shop? Well, here Dustin wants to say something about the coffee
Who's
shop.
Who's Dustin?
Don't do that to us, Kenny. Kenny.
Okay, I won't do it to you. I won't.
Dustin,
a nice little commercial.
Commercial. Oh,
do what we like, Dustin.
Don't do that.
Yeah, he didn't like it much either.
Yo, Dustin, what's up, bro?
Yeah, see, we're in agreement here.
There's no offense, but we just, Kenny, let's keep professional, okay?
Okay, we can do that. So anyway, but yeah, so the Birthday
this
Massacre.
This is the Chris Brake Show.
Wait, why don't you do the show? How come the show isn't live? How come sometimes I go to listen to it and there's nothing playing there? It's some other show that's like on repeat, like, but it's not your show.
What is this?
I need to talk to somebody and see.
Fuck that.
Oh, a way we can automatically fucking have a show play. Because
I'll tell them, fuck that.
It would just be me sitting there by myself.
Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
All right, we're live Saturday night. It might be me sitting there talking to myself, maybe. Playing some music.
I would rather listen to that than what is happening now. Have you heard it? It's, oh, man.
No, I haven't.
Oh, God. Dude, you
should not hear it.
I recommend you don't hear it, but get something up there quick.
All right, so yeah, from now on, every Saturday night from 10 to midnight, Howie at the coffee shop, no matter what, strangelabel.com.
Nice.
Howie's Coffee on Twitter.
I told you, dude, yes. High five.
So you want a high five? At Howie's Coffee.
What is some whispering going
on? What the fuck is going on over there?
I'm sorry. Yeah, we got real unprofessional here.
Is he trying to tell you? He's like, don't forget to plug this. Don't forget to plug that.
No, he's not doing none of that. No, he told me not to plug anything.
Oh, really?
They're not talking about your wife's foot, are they?
Oh, not anymore. Yeah, now he's just digging through my car. He just found my brand new nose hair trimmers that are in my glove compartment.
That's called a distraction. Oh. He's stealing from you. Watch him.
Yeah.
I still use the fingers, the tight grip, and the yank.
For what?
Oh, no.
For the nose hairs.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I go totally bare in there.
I don't have like dark nose hairs, thank God, but I've been thinking about using one of these nose hair trimmers.
You don't got the Rooney brows, do you? Rooney brows.
You got to keep it all clear. The fucking nose is a big issue. No hair.
No nose hair. What about the eyebrow, Kenny? Did you pluck the eyebrow? You can't quit it, dude. That's a mistake I made.
I have perfect, beautiful man eyebrows. Like, you can have better.
You must be very proud of yourself.
I am. That's the only thing I got going for me, really, is the eyebrows and the blue eyes.
Yeah.
Other than that, I get by.
These are Arnold sound quotes that I'm saying with my own voice. Who is your daddy? Okay. What does he do, Kenny?
My daddy is retired.
Who are you? Stop it!
Okay.
Wait a minute. Is that Dustin? Put him
That's
on.
Dustin. Okay, hold on, Dustin.
No.
You guys do the Arnold all the time.
Hello, what's happening?
Who are you?
Who are you? I'm Dustin. What's happening?
Yes. I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want them answered immediately.
Okay.
You like discipline?
Love it.
Yes. I don't know anymore, dude. I'm sorry.
a bunch of questions, and you got one. You like discipline, and I say I love it. Your response to me after that is yes.
Okay. I got tons of questions. Get ready for this.
Isn't there something about lunch and turbo time and rubber baby and?
I don't care who did what to your Hershey Highway.
I'm a cop. Detective.
Detective John Kimball. This is not a police station. This is Howie's Coffee Shop.
Yeah. So, with the Birthday Massacre, we don't want any money. We just want somebody who wants to do special effects, get an awesome-ass credit in a movie, and, build your skill set, man. We'll fucking use you forever, recommend you to our friends.
What happened to say we'll fucking use you forever?
We'll use you for our friends, right? Yeah, I mean, we'll get you paying jobs. We can't afford to pay you. I can maybe give you something out of my own pocket. I'll take you out to a nice lunch the first time we meet and the last time we meet and whenever in between. But, yeah.
You're a three-date rule type of guy, right?
Yeah, really. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if you show me progress halfway through, then we can go ahead and close the deal.
That's a fair.
All right, Kenny, we're going to have you back on in the future because I've got something to talk to you about.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, we'll
That's good. I have something to talk to you about, too. So, yeah, we'll talk again in the future.
All right. Take
Are you
it
guys
easy.
Lying?
Take it easy.
All right. Bye, guys.
Later.
Kenny White, White Hair Productions.
No lying. I got that guy's got a funny thing that he once did that I'd really like to dig into.
He's pretty cool. He lets us make fun of him on the air.
Were you making fun of him?
I don't know. Whatever that was, I felt that it might be taken as harsh.
I don't think anybody's making fun of him.
That's good, because I didn't think so either. There was lots of jokes being had.
Ah.
So maybe we should treat all the guests that way. Oh, it's time for the Muzak.
I made a special hand signal for you, just so that I wouldn't have to say, because I could have just told you, you know, play the music, but instead I was like, okay, we'll try and be professional where we won't even mention the music; it'll just come on. So I made a hand signal to you to play the music, and then you said, "Oh, it's time to play the music." All right, a crest break. That's John Rapp. And I would like to say thank you! Clipped. Thank you to Darren Snyder at Indian Tune. Mike Moore at WFODix.com. John G at 405. Matt Leroy from Beardy and the Beast. Mary Elizabeth Rumsey at meandrhyme.wordpress.com. And Rich Barker from Punk Rock Night at the Melody Inn. Very Saturday night's Punk Rock Night at the Melody Inn. Yeah, in case you forgot, we are live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on strangelabel.com. Use the TuneIn app. That's what I do.
TuneIn app is always steady Freddy. We got Ron at Radio Max Music to thank. We got Jeremy Cox Potato Nation to thank. We got Mark at Tangent Bound the Woo. Jack at the Mix FM. Suma Peter from Africa. Loud Town Online Radio. Linda and Ron at Scott Pub Scotland Radio. Thanks a lot. Tommy Talk Stream Live. Mike and I are in our radio. Over at Radio Blitz. The Mars Soundman. Tico at FJS Radio. Pedro at Cornucopia. And Big Nate on the Air. Boom. Dogging Bombs.
Bum, 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 bum. Okay, thank you very much. I hope you play it. And I know this is recording. And I hope you play it. Okay, see you guys.